Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw View, the show where we talk about old pay-per-views or wrestling shows, whatever. As decided, kind of, by the $10 and up Patreon mark. That's right, if you pledge $10 a month or more to our Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, you too can vote on which pay-per-view we review each and every week. We also have other reward tiers at patreon.com/Steven Larson, ranging from $1 all the way up to $200,000, which isn't even possible on Patreon.
No.
But we have it there anyways.
Yeah.
We're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/goingin raw. We have like 11 or 12 designs. I don't know.
We're something like that.
Putting up new ones all the time.
Yes.
But we're not here to talk about all that, Larson.
No, we're here to talk about Clash of the Champions 24. Now, this show is notable primarily for one reason, and that is the debut
of the Shockmaster.
Of the Shockmaster.
Very confusing. Very confusing debut for the Shockmaster.
I don't think it's confusing. I think it was just all messed up.
Infamously confusing. No, there's a lot of confusing things about that. Like, we'll get to it when we get there. This is like one of my favorite eras of wrestling ever, Larson.
Yeah, you love early 90s WCW.
Anytime, number one, anytime you've got Vader closing out your show. Vader, did Vader ever put on any bad matches? Because all of Vader's matches, they're all just really brutal. It didn't matter like where you were wrestling. If you were in a match against Vader, you were going to get your ass beat.
You're probably going to get, for reals, punched in the
face. You're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And this card featured the main event of Vader versus the British Bulldog.
Davey Boy Smith.
That's right, who had stopped by WCW. That's another reason why I love this era of WCW. Because you have like pit stops, basically. It was like sort of a pit stop for a lot of wrestlers.
Yeah, pretty much anybody who didn't want to or couldn't wrestle with WWF went to WCW.
Right, exactly. I shared you on my notes, by the way, in case you want those. I'm going to get your notes here in a second. But yeah, I don't know. I was actually pretty entertained by most of this pay-per-view.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
There's always so many weird things going on in the late 80s, early 90s for WCW. There's a lot of weird going on. And so we're going to talk a lot about that weird. The show opened up. Number one, I can never get enough of... I mean, this is Clash of Champions. So Clash of Champions wasn't actually pay-per-view.
No, they aired on TBS.
Yeah, they were TV specials.
Yeah, they were supposed to be... Well, they're kind of pay-per-views in terms of the, you know, like quality of the matches, how it, you know, how they involve storylines and such.
Yeah.
But obviously, so long as you paid your cable bill every month, you would get them for free.
Exactly. Yeah, so you have to pay more money. But they serve the same purpose because I think, were there actual pay-per-views like quarterly at the time? There was like Fall Brawl, Starrcade, Great American Bash.
I don't know if they were doing, what year was this, 93?
93. Like they weren't doing, were they doing Clash of the Champions and monthly pay-per-views? I would have a hard time believing that.
We're going to find out here in a second.
Nice. Because the Clash of the Champions... Those things would come on like once. They would have like a handful of them every year.
They had 8 pay-per-views in 1993.
Okay. And then how many Clash of the Champions were there?
They were monthly. I think. No, wait, no, they weren't. Sorry.
I think those might have been quarterly.
They were probably the months. They probably had those in months they didn't have pay-per-views.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense. All right. See, problems. When this? Because this was August of 93, right?
Yeah, and no
yeah,
pay-per-view.
There was no pay-per-view. Ah.
They were building up to a Fall Brawl.
Right. Okay, good to know. Interesting.
Yeah.
March, April? Okay, yeah. June, probably?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so yeah, that's sort of a weird concept, but they did what they did. And I like that. You know, it's kind of like the modern-day WWE. They're advancing stories, you know, just all the time with these special Clash of the Champion, and they're only like 90 minutes long. That was my favorite part.
Well, it's probably 2
it.
Hours.
This was, I think...
No, I know, but the 2-hour television presentation.
Oh, right, because of commercials and stuff. That's right.
For every hour of television time, there's 15 minutes of commercials.
I wish I wasn't, let's see, 93. I was like in high, almost high school. So I wish I wasn't a WCW at the time. I would have gone into these Clash of the Champions.
Oh, really?
These things, they always make me so nostalgic because they are so from the 90s.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it looks like it's like 1989, but it's really 1993. That's what we always say about old wrestling, is that it always feels like it's 10 years behind the times. It feels like it's about 5 years behind the times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it's 1988.
And then the next year, we watched Bash at the Beach 1994, and it felt like it was 1996 already based on the presentation of the show. It was like, because that's what we were used to for WCW, that level of presentation. And by 94, they were already there. Anyways, let's get into this show.
Okay.
Tony Schiavone and Jesse Ventura are commentators for the evening.
I love Jesse, man.
Yeah, and he was good.
This is a good team right here. Because I feel like, so we talked about, I think, Schiavone and Heenan on one of our episodes.
Yeah, it was Bash 94.
Yeah, Bash 94. And they seemed like they hated each other.
Yeah, but we did, was it Halloween Havoc 92 when it was Ventura and Schiavone?
Yeah.
They were good then?
I know. They seemed to get along. They seemed to enjoy their time together. So that's good.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So they kick off the show. We got a pre-taped Hollywood Blondes promo. It was an announcement.
Yeah.
That they were making.
Yeah. Brian Pillman was injured. Tore some ligaments in his ankle.
Yeah.
And so they were making the announcement that Pillman was hurt and therefore would not be able to participate in the show. Stone Cold, I mean, stunning Steve Williams was rocking some plaid shorts and flip-flops, I guess because the show was in Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
He was ready to go to the beach after the show was over.
I swear, every other WCW event was at Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
It was Daytona Beach, Sturgis.
South Dakota, yeah.
And then like a couple
of
places.
And then every March or April, Panama City, Florida.
Yeah. That's right.
To cash in on spring break.
Pillman was great, man.
Yeah, he was.
Pillman really did feel like he was like several decades ahead of his time.
Yep.
Because like, so this is this announcement they made saying, yeah, he's injured, we're not going to fight. They were both kind of snickering through it a little bit. You know, this is, so I don't know. I don't think that they felt that Pillman's injury was fake and they're getting out of this. But they were there. They felt like they were getting over on the Horsemen.
Yeah.
Because they were scheduled to take on Arn and Paul Roma.
Yeah.
And then they cut back to Jesse and Tony, who say, nope. They just found out that Lord Steven Regal is taking the place of Brian Pillman.
He will be a Hollywood Blonde for the evening. And that was the thing, is that not only was this tag match still happening, it was still for the titles.
Yeah.
But Steven Regal was a member of the Hollywood Blondes for that evening.
Yeah, exactly. What was the last? Did we just review something where somebody was something for an evening? No, it was. Oh, it was Vader was the U.S.
Oh yeah. He Rick Rude had to wrestle twice.
But then there was another. What was the last thing that we reviewed?
And then Vader took his place. That was Hollywood Havoc 92, I think.
Well, the last thing. It wasn't Nitro. I don't know. Anyways, they did that a lot apparently. WCW.
So that
there was a lot of mystery partners in WCW.
Yeah, that led to Arn and Paul Roma versus Steve Austin and Steven Regal for the WCW tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
It's always weird to see the Horsemen work as face.
Yeah, well, number one, can we talk about their shirts for a second?
Yeah, those were cool shirts.
They were white. They were airbrushed. It was a stallion, the silhouette of a stallion, galloping on a beach. And then with that classic 80s font above them, airbrushed, Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
But number Four Horsemen.
And then Roma had that same logo on his tights.
On his tights, I know. Very, very good looking.
Roma was all in on the Horsemen, which he should be.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if you're a member of the Horsemen, you got to be all in.
He's the guy we always forget about, that he was a Horseman. But never more. I will always now know that
the
Paul
name
Roma.
Of Paul Roma when you hear Four Horsemen.
Exactly. Oh, was that during the Roma era?
That was during the Roma years. Or, I don't know if it lasted a year. In 1993, you could still get disqualified for throwing somebody over the top rope.
Yes, they made that point.
Why was that ever a rule?
I don't know, man. But Jesse was over. He was like...
He was trying to find any way for...
Yes.
For the...
He just threw Austin all over the top rope.
For the Blondes to retain their titles.
He should be disqualified. That's a disqualification, Schiavone. And Giovanni's like, well, they didn't see him. Anytime you have Arn Anderson in a match.
Yeah, Arn's great.
Austin, you've mentioned this era Austin before. He's so comfortable in the ring as opposed to after Owen broke his neck and he was a lot more careful. He was so free-flowing, but he was still Austin.
Yeah.
But he was so free-flowing and, like, comfortable in the ring, doing any number of things in the ring. And then he got his neck broke.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really comfortable anymore.
No, he couldn't do the things he used to do. Here, there was a spot in this match that really bothered me.
Hold on, I'm going to adjust my chair.
And I know I've seen this before in wrestling matches, but it was so obvious in this one that it really bothered me.
Yeah.
So at one point during the match, Paul...
All right,
so good. At one point during the match, Paul Roma wants to tag in Arn Anderson.
Okay.
He achieves that goal. He tags in Arn Anderson. Problem is, the referee, Nick Patrick, who would eventually be the NWO
ref. Well, that's what you're... Yeah, it's a thing here.
Didn't see it, so he didn't allow the tag. He sent Arn back to his corner. Roma had to continue the match. Yeah. While all that was going on, Stone Cold, sorry, Austin... tags in Steven Regal.
Yes.
The ref didn't see it. Nick Patrick did not see that tag. Yet, right. At no point did he forcibly try to remove Regal from the ring. He just kind of said, hey, get out of here. Get out of here. Yeah. Get out of here. Get out of here and let the match continue.
Yeah.
Not long after that, Paul Roma rolls up Regal and the ref, knowing full well that the man whose shoulders are on the mat is not the legal man, counts the pinfall.
Yeah, man.
And I was screaming at my... computer screen saying, why are you counting that pinfall? You know,
you know, man,
that is not the legal man.
You're telling him there is a couple instances of a non-legal man having a little too much impact on the outcome of a match.
Yeah, they weren't observing the five count.
No, they weren't. Those WCW rules were just all over the map.
Apparently. Anyway.
In this era.
Arn eventually pins Austin with a roll up and a handful of tights.
We have to be getting close to the era when over the top rope wasn't a DQ. We have to be getting
90. I don't remember if by 94 it was still a thing or not.
Maybe when Hogan came in, he was like, what?
He had that in his contract. Creative control, over the top rope, no longer a DQ.
Exactly. Okay, how about this? He's booking his match. All right, listen, brother. Before I drop that leg, I'm going to throw him over the top rope.
Well, hold on, Hulkster.
Yeah, brother.
That's a disqualification.
Not anymore, brother. You see my contract, brother.
You know why?
You know.
I'm the man. All right. After that, Eric Bischoff interviews Arn Anderson and Paul Roma.
Yeah, I like this because Paul Roma gave like the cookie cutter screaming promo, and Arn Anderson sounds like the best Texas high school football coach you'd ever hear. Because I imagine like there's NFL football coaches, but they're millionaires. I doubt they're that motivational. When you're a Texas, which in that state, high school football is everything.
Yeah.
It's like Jesus.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Yeah.
When you're a football coach in Texas in high school, I imagine you have the most motivational speeches of all time because you're probably only getting paid like $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
But at the same time, football's everything over there.
Yeah.
I love his promos. And this is just on a crappy Clash of the Champions.
Yeah, Arn was great.
Yeah, Arn was great.
After that, we had beautiful Bobby Eaton
mm-hmm.
versus Too Cold Scorpio.
Once again, talk about somebody who was way ahead of his
yes.
time. Too Cold Scorpio was way ahead of his time.
Yes.
I feel like, let me ask you this. Why wasn't he a much bigger star?
I don't know.
I feel like it's probably his packaging in that it was kind of generic. Like, what does Too Cold Scorpio mean? I mean, I get that it's supposed to be like a, hey, you're cool, I get that. But, like, I feel like with some more focused packaging... Too Cold Scorpio could have been Matt. Because his moves, like what he did in the ring, that dude was way ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And they have beautiful Bobby, who is like a man who's out of his... like if Too Cold Scorpio was like decades ahead of his time, beautiful Bobby was a man firmly entrenched in the 1950s.
Yeah. They were touting...
Wrestling in the
90s. And it was interesting, kind of odd, that the commentary team were touting Bobby Eaton's high-flying bona fides. Did you catch that?
I didn't.
Yeah, they're saying Bob Eaton's is no stranger to high risk top rope moves, and I'm like, hold on a second.
Evidently,
I'm not like an expert in Bobby Eaton's work, but I've seen a few of his matches. And,
yeah,
and maybe he did an elbow during this match, I believe. Maybe he's done a drop kick. He's not doing any 450 splashes.
No, he's not. Which, by the way, Ventura called a 360 splash, or he said, "Oh look, Too Cold Scorpio did a 360. No, dude, if you start like this and you end like this, you got to add the extra this to it.
Yeah, there's 90 more degrees.
450, Jesse.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, a Too Cold Scorpio picked up the win with a 450 splash.
450 splash, not
over
a 360.
Beautiful Bobby.
Exactly. Oh, man. Next up we had... Oh, I like this. So they teased that the next match, which was Max Payne versus Johnny B. Badd. And it was like a shot of Max Payne. But in the shot, he looked exactly like Sammy Callahan.
Well, like a thicker.
Well, yeah. But this is, it was like the promo image. And it's kind of, the kind of thing that only I would really pay attention to. Because you pay attention to the important stuff, like what happens in the matches.
Yeah.
I pay attention to the accoutrements.
Yes.
To the salad dressing. The window dressing.
Salad dressing.
In Max Payne's case, it was ranch.
Yeah.
Because that was a big man. But no, so like the little cutout still of him was just a bust. And he's going like
this. Oh, do you mean like the little trading card things?
Yeah,
they had?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And
his,
the graphics,
his
yeah.
hair and the look at him. So I was like, that looks dead on like Sammy Callahan. But then he came out and he was massively fat. Yeah, so I knew it was not Sammy Callahan.
There was a couple matches during this card where I remembered that WCW seemingly would just hire anybody off the street.
Oh, man, a wrestler. Yeah. Here are some other names used by Max Payne. He is a dictionary of a walking kayfabe corner all to himself. Beater, which has some a myriad of connotations. Blacksmith, cool name. Buffalo Peterson, that sounds fake as shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Heavy Metal Buffalo, Lucifer Payne, Man Mountain Rock, Maximum Payne, Max Payne, and Max Payne in various...
Different spellings, yeah.
Different spellings. So apparently part of the story on this one was that Johnny B. Badd had been burnt on the face.
Yeah, so he had to wear, or he wore a mask to cover his burns.
Well, actually, he wore two masks.
That's true. I was going to get to that. That is a very important story element in this match, Steve.
Now, luckily, we were spared from the inadvertent offensiveness of the Johnny B. Badd character. Because he was, in fact, wearing a mask, and he, in fact, did say that when he talked, he wasn't doing his Little Richard impression. It was weird.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
But this match was set up as a mask versus Norma Jean match.
Norma Jean was a guitar.
Yeah, but we didn't know that until Max Payne walked out to the ring carrying a guitar.
Right.
Kind of had to put that together.
And through the magic of editing, I will now walk over and let my dog out.
Yes.
I hath returned.
You're back.
Through the magic of editing.
What I found interesting about Max Payne is that they said he was from the state of Euphoria.
I did not notice that. That was awesome. That's good.
That's
man.
Really good.
Sounds like he's high as shit. Is that the in
maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, his gimmick is kind of like rock star.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, this is, Max Payne wasn't doing much, but, I mean, Mark Merrill was a decent wrestler.
Yeah,
he was
pretty athletic. Yeah,
he was athletic. At one point, Max Payne, you're probably going to mention this, he took off Johnny B. Badd's mask only to reveal an underwear mask, like another mask underneath that mask.
Yeah. The finish saw Max Payne go for a second rope splash. Not a top rope splash.
No, a second rope.
Missed
even that seemed like a chore to Max Payne.
I know. Missed it. Johnny B. Badd covers him and gets the pin.
Johnny B. Badd's already on the ground, about to take that splash. From the second rope. And then he just sort of looks over, and there's a giant man just laying there on the floor, and he goes like this.
Just puts his arm over him.
Yeah.
Gets the win.
And then he, he's trying to do a quickie promo of sorts just to the camera. Oh, because he grabs the guitar.
Yeah, he won the guitar.
He won the guitar, and then I think he said he's putting that up at Fall Brawl.
No.
What did he say?
Well, he said...
He said
he was going to take his mask off on Saturday night.
Oh, okay, that's right, because he'd been burned.
Yeah.
But when he said that, he was not being Little Richard. There was none of that stuff. He was just being straight at Mark Merrill. I wish they were just stuck with that. Anyways.
All right, now let's talk about this. A flair for the gold.
Well, there's so much great about this. Number one... Flair for the gold, the segment itself was, because Flair looks amazing.
Yeah,
he's got
even
that
though
suit
even
on.
Though the set is like an 80s sitcom set,
that just makes it even better. I know it. So anyway, Sting, and so his guests are, well, number one, he introduces, was it Fifi, the maid, like the French maid, says she's the most beautiful lady alive, which I don't really think is true. I mean, she's cute. I've seen cuter. Anyways, his guests were Sting and Davey Boy Smith.
Correct.
Who, according to Wikipedia, was there because WWE had released him because he was caught ordering human growth hormone, HGH. He was a big dude. He was very puffy. So I imagine WCW had no restrictions on that. Anyways,
they were there to talk about their match at Fall Brawl.
Davey Boy Smith was there to yell. God, he shouted from the top of his lungs.
Yeah, I know.
On the couch. And it's really difficult to deliver a convincing promo when you're sitting on a red couch and Ric Flair is there. And even Sting like gave this look on his face. Like even through his makeup, I could tell you're being too loud.
And well, you know what it is, too.
We have mics, dude.
Is that they were sitting on a couch, but they weren't sitting all the way back. They were sitting just on the edge.
Yeah.
You know their posture good.
Yeah.
So they're not like slouching or looking like they're not, you know, ready to throw down or anything. You know what I mean?
They're Davey Boy was like this. He had like his chest out when he was screaming.
That's not a comfortable position to be sitting in, first of all.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And then try to deliver a promo while doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, they just should have let him be comfortable.
Yeah.
Slouch in the couch, get comfy.
So
put your head on the armrest, take a nap a little bit.
Well, it's a flare for the gold, man. Not a nap for the gold. So they were there. So Davey Boy was talking about his upcoming match with Vader later in the night.
And then Sid comes out and shouts at everybody. They start screaming.
He does. And he's all he's there's so much denim on that man. Like I think he had to get his. He had to have gotten his jeans custom made. His legs were like 90% of his body. I mean, he had a big upper body.
No, I know what you mean.
Do you remember Savage Dragon? The Eric Larson?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like really long, skinny legs and then like a really bulky upper body.
Yeah.
That was, Sid should play Savage Dragon.
That's a good point.
I wonder if, because Savage Dragon dropped around that time. Maybe there was some relation there. I don't know. Anyway, Sid had a very nice short sleeve dress shirt on, tucked into some very tight, very long jeans.
Yes.
I mean, why would anybody have ever said, hey, go to the second rope? Did he come off the second rope? It was the second rope when he snapped his leg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, he comes out with Harlem Heat, who look like they're just happy to be there. They're putting their mean faces on. But you could just tell, hey, we're moving up in the world because we're behind Sid, who's like a consummate main event guy.
Yeah.
Sid's yelling at both of them. Colonel Parker's with them.
Yeah.
And they're
because
going
they all have a match at Fall Brawl.
Fall Brawl.
Where Sid and Harlem Heat have a Vader as their partner.
Yeah.
And Sting and Davey Boy Smith have a mystery partner.
First mystery partner of two.
Yes.
In the night.
During the course
the
of the show.
Second one got to drive a Camaro that I couldn't find if anybody actually won.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So anyways, the Davey Boy yells more. And then Sting yells about...
He has to yell over Davey Boy Smith so he can do the reveal.
Exactly.
And says our partner for Fall Brawl will shock the world.
Right.
And then there's a couple of pyro hits.
Which is a clue to a person nobody's ever heard of or seen before. So why are you dropping a clue?
And he says, here is the Shockmaster.
Shockmaster. And then...
Pyro.
Pyro. Like, it's the kind of pyro that you'd see on, like, a set accident gone wrong. You know? It's like, remember, do you ever see the Michael Jackson footage? It's like that. It's like, oh, God. Oh, you can see that go. Oh, his head's on fire. It was like that. The crowd kind of gasped because I don't think they're expecting something that dramatic.
No.
And then just out from the, like the Kool-Aid man just comes falling through.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. He comes, he tumbles over his helmet. His
Thank you for the Kool-Aid man reference, by the way.
His bedazzled stormtrooper helmet.
It was a spray painted with sparkle pink. He got some on his chest because the sparkles came off.
That's right.
And he's got like a black vest.
So
and acid wash jeans.
Yeah, but the black vest has like poofy areas on it.
Yeah, and it's long.
And he's got like a snakeskin belt, I think. So he comes, you know.
We studied his outfit.
Oh, yeah, pretty heavily. He stumbles out, loses his helmet. He puts it back on because it's very loosely placed on his head.
I mean, it's a toy.
He gets up. It is. He gets up.
And he starts doing this like he's talking, but nope, there's no voice.
The crowd goes dead silent.
Yeah.
There aren't even laughs.
No.
like, do the majority of the people in Daytona Beach think this is real? Like, are they like, oh no, what is, like, what are they thinking? Because they're just dead silent. The man just stands there. And then, Sid.
Sid starts yelling at him. And then Ole Anderson, with his voice like through some filters, just starts talking like this.
Through a laugh, though, because he goes, Sid, you may have been ruler of the world, but it's been long enough.
And then you start hearing chatter from Sid and Harlem Heat saying, I don't know what they're saying, but they're chattering underneath like the microphone and Ole backstage.
Yeah.
But your time has come up and you'll no longer be the ruler of the world. By the way, Flair had already taken off for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. While everybody was shouting at each other, he just left. He and Fifi left.
Yeah, I wonder what they did.
So I was curious because I saw later on in another Clash of Champions and at Fall Brawl that the Shockmaster did compete.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I was curious whether they stuck with that gimmick, the original version.
What gimmick are you referring to exactly?
Well, the Shockmaster, but the Stormtrooper helmet, the
vest.
No,
they didn't. Ottman just ended up wearing normal shit. I think he kept the jeans and like his boots.
Plain white shirt, jeans, and a white construction worker's helmet.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I kind of remember.
So he
that,
was more
yeah.
like an electrician.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Flamboyant electrician.
like this is according to Wikipedia. They continue with the angle, repackaging the Shockmaster character as a klutz.
Yeah.
In a series of pre-recorded promos.
That sounds like the most Ole Anderson thing I've ever heard of in my life. Because, I mean, come on. He looked like the most serious dude. And everybody said that, like, for whatever reason, a lot of those, like, anecdotes, shoot interviews, whatever, a lot of people said Ole was a dick. Right? I kind of remember that. But it seems like the guy had at least a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like, they were able to turn this. But my question is, what were they going to, like, what was the end game for the Shockmaster in the first place? Like, was he going to wrestle in that outfit?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
That's, like, really my concern. Or was he going to be, like, was there going to be, like, a big Shockmaster reveal?
Yeah, no.
Had they even given one thought about that? They were just like, hey, we need a mystery partner. Well, you know, we neglected to you know, maybe somebody, I don't know, I'm trying to think
Well, Fred Ottman, who played the Shockmaster, yeah. just came over from WWF.
Oh, okay.
Somebody they thought, or I think he was, hold on. He
was one of the natural disasters,
yeah,
wasn't he?
He was.
Earthquake?
Typhoon.
A typhoon, okay.
Also Tugboat. Maybe they thought, you know, he was a former tag team champion in WWF. Maybe if he came over, they do this reveal at Fall Brawl, who he really is, would get popped from the crowd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That could be. That sounds like it might be likely, yeah. But anyways. So yeah, he stumbles out, you know, all that stuff. What you mentioned earlier was hilarious, though, because he starts going like this. Before anything even happens,
yeah.
Just a stunned silence.
Yeah.
Just the
Ole was in front of the mic like this, so it happened at a turn.
Exactly.
Get it out of his system.
Exactly. Because, dude, you only see, like, for a millisecond, a sliver of Ottman's face when he's reaching for the helmet.
Yeah.
Put it back on.
I love that. Didn't he pull up his pants and everything before he starts doing this?
Yes, he did. I mean, hey, good on him for keeping the show going.
And it was a quick recovery. Because he falls, the helmet falls off, and within, like, 5 seconds, he has his composure back.
It's back, and he's making the mimes, man.
He's ready to do his promo. Ole's back there losing his shit.
Ole's the one who's dying back there. I mean, these are grown-ass men, and they're doing this. Oh, my God. It's so great. It's so amazing. Oh, God. Anyways.
After that. Ricky Steamboat, who's quickly becoming one of my favorite wrestlers ever.
You know what, dude? You have to give it up to Harlem Heat because I watched that segment several times over and I looked at their faces. And Sid, I think, is just crazy anyway. I think Sid thinks that shit's real anyways. But, like, if you look at Harlem Heat, two guys who you know have their shit together and they're just happy to have this opportunity, they do not break at all. They have, and I think it might be one of those things where, you know, if you want to laugh, and sometimes the only course of action is just to keep the same face,
mm-hmm.
like perfectly still, mm-hmm. and not try to move at all. And I think that's what Booker was doing. Stevie Ray, I mean, he just looked like he was ready to throw anyways. So give it up to Harlem Heat for not breaking character. But, man, that was good.
That was. Next, Ricky Steamboat, as I said, quickly rising on my personal power rankings for favorite wrestler of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Versus Paul Orndorff. And as soon as this match kicks off and they go back to the commentary team, Jesse Ventura cannot stop laughing about the Shockmaster. And for the rest of the show, he keeps making references to all the interesting entrances that are going on. You can tell he thinks it is the absolute funniest thing he has ever seen.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so great. That's so awesome.
On the subject of injuries I didn't know were real until I watched wrestling. What, like, having one arm atrophy and the other not is, I never knew about that.
Yeah.
I actually, it's funny because I saw like a later Orndorff match from like 95, I think, right before he retired. And then it was like, I think it had either the I don't know if it ever got better or if it just continued to get worse.
Well, he had a match at Fall Brawl 94. He was tag teaming with Paul Roma.
Okay, yeah.
And I thought it looked better there than it did it.
I think it might have gotten better and then it got worse because by the time he retired, like the right side of it, it wasn't just his arm, the right side of his body looked much different than the left side of his body.
Because here, apart from his right arm, like the rest of his
Yeah, I know, everything else is fine. His right bicep in this match was virtually non-existent. It looked like it deflated. We talked about this before. It looked like it deflated.
Well, we talked about, I think, the last one we did, the Bash 94, about how that injury happened. Weightlifting accident of some sort.
Yeah. He
was in a huge program with Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to stop to get treatment for it, and then just didn't recover.
Yeah.
The injury never healed.
Yeah. Steamboat, he could... I'm convinced that Ricky the Dragon Steamboat could bring a broomstick to a 4-star match at least, because Orndorff, not a great wrestler, but this was actually a pretty decent match. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of enjoyed this match. I don't have like a lot of detailed notes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was some decent back and forth. There wasn't a whole lot of high spots.
Oh, Buffer. That's right. But they had Buffer introducing this match. They were already throwing money at Michael Buffer.
I thought Buffer did the Sting Flair versus Colossal Kong's match.
He might have did that one as well, but he did this one because I have the note there right there.
The finish saw Steamboat reverse Orndorff while he's trying to body slam him into a roll-up, picks up the win.
Yeah.
And then after the match, Paul Orndorff attacks Steamboat and gives him a pile driver on the television championship.
I like the part where Orndorff tried to get a dirty pin and only got a 2 count and gets up and starts celebrating.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
Ventura
yeah.
gives him the belt.
Yeah, that was funny, too.
He says, why did you just give him the belt?
That was good.
Great. So, yeah.
After that.
After that, we had a backstage interview with Harley Race and the Authors of Pain.
Colossal Kongs.
Man, old school Authors of Pain. That's what them dudes look like. Harley Race is the most old school wrestler I've ever seen in my life. He's old, he's stout, and he's grizzly as fuck. That voice of his is just, it's like he gargles freaking concrete. It's great.
I know.
It's so amazing.
So this match, next match, was Sting and Ric Flair. Still weird to me seeing Flair work face.
Yeah, I know, it's right?
Weird.
Yeah,
I was expecting to turn on Sting at any moment during this match.
It's a bit off-putting.
Versus the Colossal Kongs, who were King Kong and Awesome Kong.
Awesome Kong the first, yeah.
Yep. And before this match and during the match, especially the beginning of it, the commentary team was really talking up Colossal Kongs, saying they had been on a huge undefeated streak. No one to beat them. No one even knocked them off the feet.
Nobody can pick
Within
them up.
In 10 seconds,
yeah.
Sting clotheslines one of them, knocks them off their feet. I think.
Yeah.
Body slams both of them. Ric Flair does not get in this match at all.
Hey, those body slams were impressive.
Oh, yeah.
That shit was impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was a squash match. They've been building up Colossal Kongs to be this destructive tag team.
Yeah.
And this match is about 2 minutes long, and it's all Sting.
Dude, that's how you build Sting up, man. That's why he's the franchise, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, that was great. And then right after that, Tony Schiavone interviews Flair and Sting. And
they're all cordial and nice, and they have a match on Saturday night for the NWA title.
Yeah. I know, exactly.
Again, I'm just waiting on Flair to turn on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
For the sixth or seventh time.
I know. Why does Sting keep on being buddy-buddy with him?
I don't know.
Yeah. Next up, we had the Equalizer and Rick Rude versus Dustin Rhodes
and a
Hawk,
mystery partner.
And it was Dustin Rhodes and a mystery partner, which ended up being two mystery partners.
Yeah, because Animal comes to the ring in a Camaro, which they were going to give away.
A Camaro Z28, which they were going to give away in a contest. I did a very basic Google search. I cannot find one reference to anybody having ever won that thing.
Interesting.
Although they made it sound like you could call in or mail in.
It made it sound like you can mail in as many times as you want.
Yeah. Nobody.
It made me think of Real Genius.
Yeah.
The guy that lived in the closet because he was doing a, was it a Frito-Lay contest? And he had these boxes of entry cards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You ever
seen
that movie?
No.
It's a good movie.
I think I might have seen like
Real Genius with Val Kilmer.
No, I think I've heard about it.
It's anyway,
kind of a kooky movie.
It's an 80s comedy. It's good. Animal drives to the ring in this Camaro.
Z28.
Yeah, walks to the ring, makes it seem like he's the mystery partner, but no. Hawk comes up behind Rick Rude and the Equalizer, and then he's the one that's actually in the match.
Oh, I thought it ended up being like it felt like a handicap match.
No, it kind of was, though. Animal didn't really get that involved.
Yeah.
So I think officially it was Hawk and Dustin Rhodes against Equalizer, another wrestler from WCW. Looked like they needed someone to fill the spot. You look like you can wrestle. Get in the ring.
What's funny, too, is that when Rick Rude is coming down with the Equalizer, Rick Rude had a look on his face like he had no interest in sharing his entrance with somebody else, let alone this hoss next to him who looked like he was 60 years old.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Rick Rude, he gets in the ring and he starts cutting a promo. He drops his legendary Rick Rude promo.
Yeah. Starts dancing.
Yeah, starts dancing. Then Dustin Rhodes comes out. And then Hawk drives up. No, Animal drives up.
But Hawk's the actual mystery partner.
Yeah, exactly.
Hawk and Dustin Rhodes actually collaborate on the Doomsday device.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was rad.
But at one point, Dustin Rhodes moves, Equalizer, trying to clothesline Dustin.
Yeah.
Clotheslines Rick Rude. Equalizer tries the body slam Dustin Rhodes. Hawk hits a crossbody from the top rope, knocks them both over. Dustin rolls over, gets the pin.
Yeah.
Wins the match.
Animal had his fingerprints all over this. So it was one of those things where it's like, wait, why are we all celebrating? It was basically a handicap.
Yeah, I know.
With the faces. Is
taking advantage of the numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and after that, there was actually a pretty cool promo for that Camaro contest.
I know. It was a good-looking Camaro.
The promo was well done. It was well put together.
Oh, yeah. I like – so I got on I got on the internet, and I saw you can buy a Z28 from, like, 1969, I want to say. I didn't even know they did Camaros that early.
25 years before this one.
It was $100,000.
Oh, yeah. Because it must be hard to find.
It was all spruced up.
Oh, okay.
It was all super spruced up. Still, $100,000 is a lot to drop on that.
On a car, I know.
Yeah, on any car.
Yeah. So, to our main event.
Yes, that led to our main event. Vader versus the WCW champion Vader.
Yes.
Versus Davey Boy Smith.
This is still back when there was both the NWA Heavyweight Championship and the WCW Champion.
Who's in? Oh, that's right. Flair. Sting and Flair. Okay.
Flair with the NWA was the NWA title holder champion. I can't talk right now.
It's okay.
And then Vader was a WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
I love Vader matches.
Yeah.
That dude, he towed a good line between, like, you know, fake wrestling and, like, really beating the crap out of a guy. You know, it wasn't like Shibata level where you're ending your own career.
See, what he would do is he would throw hands at people.
Yeah.
But he wasn't punching like this. He would throw forearms. So he'd hit people in their head, you know, with a lot of force behind it.
Yeah.
But right here.
Probably wouldn't feel great. You know when you're getting rained on by Vader.
Yeah.
But you're coming out of it alive.
Yeah, you're not getting fists to the head. For the most part. I think there was one time where it looked like the Bulldog might have taken a fist to the head. But for the most part, it was forearms.
Didn't we see in one of our things, it was like a tag match where Vader and somebody was taking on Bulldog and somebody. And I swear I said, man, it seems like it. Wasn't it like Bret Hart and Bulldog versus Vader and somebody? And I was like, man, at one point, it looked like Vader started really throwing hands at Davey Boy. It was the one where Vader came off, tried to do the moonsault, land on his feet. And we were both marveled at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're like, wait, did Bulldog botch something there? Or was that just Vader just being in character, acting pissed off? And that's how he acted when he was pissed off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe he didn't like Davey Boy. I just feel like this is two times now when I've seen him in there with Davey Boy. Like, when he's in there with Cactus Jack, we saw Halloween Havoc 93, right? It felt like a back and forth. It felt like just a really brutal physical wrestling dance, you know, like they do. It wasn't actually a dance. I'm just a metaphor. This felt sometimes like Vader really just wanted to beat up on Davey Boy Smith. That's what it felt like. I could be completely wrong. It could be. I know Vader has said in interviews before that he would go in there and sort of tell the guy, hey, I'm going to beat on you. You beat on me back. Like, we're going to throw on each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think he mentioned that about Flair once.
Yeah.
And so maybe it was that, because Davey Boy Smith was a tough dude.
Yeah.
That, and he was strong as shit.
Yeah, that suplex he did on the ramp, the stalling suplex.
Oh, my gosh.
He didn't have him up there for 10 seconds, but it was a couple.
It looked like he could have. Like, if he really put his mind to it, he could have.
Yeah, that was an impressive suplex.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of notes for this.
No, I don't either. It was a decent enough match.
At one point, Jesse Ventura said, "Yeah, that's right. Did you hear Vader say, 'I'm the man'?"
Yeah, I caught that too. It was a decent enough match. Vader is just fun to watch because for a guy his size, he can do a lot.
He can do a lot.
He did a splash during this match. He did a Vader bomb
and
onto the Bulldog that he kicked out of.
So he's not like, when they call him a big man, obviously he's a big dude. He's not like super tall.
No, not at all.
But he's a big dude. And it's funny because that was in my mind because Ventura had said something like he's the most agile big man in the business. And Schiavone said, "Oh, he's one of the best big men." And as one of them said something like that, Vader was in the corner. I think he'd just been drop kicked by Davey Boy. And he like just took up the entire corner.
He's 450 pounds, they said.
He was huge. Yep. Like when you see him up against like a point of reference, sometimes you just sort of don't remember because he's a round dude.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really understand how big he is. But man, he was a massive human being.
Yeah. And he was doing stuff that.
Yeah.
Guys half his size were doing.
Oh, crazy. Absolutely. I'd hate to know what his knees feel like these days. Because he lands a lot on his knees. That's a lot of weight to be coming down on.
Yeah.
Anyways, how did this match finish?
Well, towards the end, Vader goes for a move off the second rope. Bulldog catches him for a power slam, but there's a ref bump.
Nick, damn it, Nick Patrick again.
Finish saw Bulldog go for another suplex, but Harley Race comes in, hits Bulldog on the knee, which Vader had been working over the entire
match. Harley Race was old, and he was still taking bumps.
Yeah.
Doling out punishment.
Yeah.
It's great.
Hits Bulldog in his knee. Vader falls on top of Bulldog for the pin.
Yeah.
Gets the win.
Yeah. Cactus Jack comes out.
Yeah.
Starts doling punishment onto Vader.
Yeah, they start brawling on the ramp, and then Vader gets off the ramp and hustles backstage.
They made it sound like this was the returning Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
So we know like later on, 2 months later, they fought at Halloween Havoc.
In a really brutal match.
In a really great brutal match. I think we covered that before.
We've talked about it, but I don't know if we've actually officially covered it. I think it was one night I was just going through watching some Vader matches, and I came across that one, and I said, "Hey, you should watch this," and then you watched it.
I swear we covered that. Oh, you know what it might have been? It might have been in a count out where we talked about that match specifically. Because I know I've mentioned several times in this show the juxtaposition of a death match versus like the fact that it's WCW. Like,
yeah, no, we've talked about it before. Yeah. But I just said we never watched Halloween Havoc 93.
No, we've never done Halloween Havoc
official capacity or that match, I don't think, for any particular reason.
I don't know.
You just bring it up because you really like it.
I do. I really like it. I love this era of WCW.
I know you do.
So anyways, we hope you guys watched. This is actually an enjoyable pay-per-view. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Much more than the worst nights are over from last week. So anyways, we're going to do something a little bit different. I have chosen.
Well, here, let's preface this. I'm going to be going on vacation in 2 or so weeks.
Okay.
We need to have one of these in the tank. We need to have one ready to go.
Yeah.
So it just goes up while I'm gone.
Yeah, right.
So what we're going to do, you have three options. I have three options. Let's put both three options up for a vote. Top vote getters of each option we will do. We'll do one next week and then the week after
that. So this is how we're going to, and then after all that rigmarole you just mentioned, we're going to do this from now on. 1 week I'm going to choose three to vote on. The next week he's going to choose three to vote on. So that we each have our own, we can surprise each other. We can try to, in our own way, one-up each other in terms of, oh, those are good options. Oh. Right. So these next three I chose, this is what's going to go up next week.
Yeah.
This will be your homework for next week. And then the ones that you're choosing, those are going to be going up when you're on vacation.
Correct.
Okay. Sounds good. So because of the Punjabi prison match that's happening today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, we're going to be live streaming our reactions to it. I have chosen three pay-per-views with gimmick matches.
Good.
First off, and these are all going up for vote for our $10 patrons. They've already voted on it. So whatever. First up, Halloween Havoc 1991. WCW. It features the Chamber of Horrors match.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I heard about that. I want to see that one.
It also had... So Flair had already left with the big gold belt.
Yes.
Literally, he took the belt.
Yeah, I know.
So they had to dress up, I believe, the TV championship. Yep. And then Luger and Ron Simmons fought over that. Also, there was an Oz sighting. Kevin Nash, hungry Kevin Nash, back when he wanted to be there because he was getting a paycheck.
Yep.
Oz was on that show. So that's option number one. Option number two, No Mercy, 2007. That's right, the original Punjabi prison match Batista versus Kali. Also, for whatever reason, the WWE Championship, so that was for the big gold belt, the WWE Championship was defended 3 times. Triple H and Randy Orton, I think Umaga was in there at one point. Yeah, 3 separate matches for that belt are defended on that pay-per-view.
That's interesting.
We also have CM Punk versus King Mabel, Big Daddy V, for the ECW title. That's a lot of weird. There's a lot of weird going on in No Mercy 2007. And then the third option is ECW.
Have you checked to make sure that's on the network?
Oh, shit. I have not. WWE Network.
I don't know if that's on there because of that.
Really?
Yeah, it might not be on there. Or if it is, they cut that out.
Living Dangerously 2000. Let's see if they cut it out. That'd be really
disappointing.
Let's
see if there's markers for the
match.
You
think it'd be that, it's that controversial?
I'm telling you, I don't think it's on there, so I think I looked for it on there.
Really?
Yeah, I think they cut it out.
They cut it out. They cut it out.
I mean, that's a pretty intense thing to have on the network.
Nobody died.
I know, but it's pretty intense, man.
It has the New Jack.
It's a nasty fall.
I'll do this. It's got the New Jack Vic Grimes fall. I'm going to keep it on there. ECW's Living, because there's a lot of weird there, too. Living Dangerously 2000. And then if you want bonus points, you can get on YouTube or Daily Motion. Somewhere is going to have that video of New Jack falling with Vic Grimes and busting his skull and him getting brain matter. That goes from
fluid.
Fluid.
Spinal fluid.
Yeah, spinal fluid. That's not brain matter. No.
Spinal fluid.
I thought he said he tasted brain.
I think he said spinal fluid coming out of his nose.
That's so gross. How do you know it's spinal? How would he know it's spinal?
I don't know.
That's dark.
That's what New Jack said, man.
Oh, it's so bad.
All right, I'm not going too far outside the box with mine. Keep it two of the previous options. The Wrestling Classic.
Oh, nice. Very good.
WWF's second attempt at a pay-per-view after WrestleMania 1.
Okay, good.
Slamboree 2000.
Oh, no.
We can't get enough WCW in 2000. Third option, Armageddon 2004.
Why?
This pay-per-view features Big Show versus Mark Jindrak, Luther Reigns, and Kurt Angle in a handicap match.
Is Luther Reigns related to Roman Reigns?
Apparently, Daniel Pooter took on The Miz in a boxing match.
Oh, gosh.
Kurt Angle versus Santa Claus.
Well, he got his gift this week, didn't he?
and then some other stuff. JBL versus Eddie Guerrero, Undertaker, and Booker T for the WWE title.
Was there a lot of blood in that?
I don't know.
JBL and Eddie Guerrero in it. So probably a lot of blood, or maybe not. Wait, I'm sorry. What is that number 6 match?
John Cena defeated Jesus.
Oh, that is a Jesus.
Well,
was there a dude named Jesus? I really want that to be John Cena versus Jesus. Aaron Aguilera. Why does that name sound familiar?
I don't know. I don't know any of these other names.
Wait, the Hardcore Kid? Wasn't he like an L.A. guy? Maybe not. Oh, well, PWG. He was down there.
Oh, maybe then, yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
Could be.
I might have seen him wrestle. I might have seen Jesus wrestle in the flesh,
could
Larson.
Be.
Anyways, that's going to be for the like 2 weeks from now. So those are going to be up on the thing. Vote for them. And then this is already voted on. So the winner for
Steve's winner is
Halloween Havoc 1991. And there you go. That's what you're going to be watching next week for our review. Do your homework. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.